tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another Americans After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. In case you haven't already done so, feel free to subscribe. It's free on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV, all those things. But before we fully dive into tonight's Season 3 premiere, a couple of housekeeping things. First off, I am not Joe Braswell. I am not Joe Sanfilippo. She is not Lauren Leonelli. She is not Jen Golden. We are a new panel. We will be adding some new people. Unfortunately, as we know from the show, things happen sometimes in personal lives and business lives that alter, you know, certain things. And so as much as, you know, the past season's panel has loved this show, they were unable to do it this season. And so we're filling in. Hopefully you guys like us as much as them. I know you've grown to love them and whatever else. Hopefully we can bring in this may be the same perspective, maybe a little bit different, and you guys can enjoy that. But I am Phil Svitek, and you are?
Adrian Snow. Hello, everyone.
So there you go. And if people want to really get to interact with you, what's your Twitter?
It's at Miss Adrian Snow. It's MSADRIANSNOW.
Well, there you go. That's right. Get to know her. Get to know us. Yeah. So let's dive into... First off, I want to start with this, right? We'll obviously talk about this episode, but let's kind of play a little bit, catch up for just a couple minutes. What has drawn you, A, to Americans? What excited you about kind of, it's been a lot of time in between season two, finale, and now. Mm-hmm. So what was the wait for you like?
The wait was okay. It was fine because... I will admit that at one point I was kind of like, man, this is getting really slow. I'm just going to stop. And when I decided, I was like, I should actually finish the last two episodes because that's just really lazy of me to not see where it goes. And so I finished the last two episodes actually not too far away from the premiere of season three. And when I finished, I was like, I'm an idiot. Why did I leave the show? The show is amazing. This is why I loved it so much. So it was – I did live in anticipation, but it was kind of not like a – I didn't have too long to wait because mm-hmm. I had kind of taken this, well, I don't know how I feel about this anymore.
I will admit this is the first time I'm watching The Americans kind of more on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. I've always been able to binge, you know, at least a couple episodes, yeah. Sometimes the full season. And for me, especially with shows like this that are paced so deliberately, mm-hmm. It's frustrating in a good way because you want to know what's going to happen and whatever else. And what I liked about opening up with today is, they keep reusing the same word. We were very close. Yeah, and in terms of the whole thing is, you know, that list. And she had it, and she knew she had to get out of there.
That was a great opening, though.
It was.
You don't always get, like, this whole episode was just, at one point I was like, this is a lot of sex and a lot of violence, because Americans sometimes it's just like, we're going to pace it out, we're going to take it very slow, it's going to be a lot of talking. So it was nice to get season three and they were just going to, like, right out the gate, you know, we're going to just make everything high intensity. Mm-hmm. So that was a nice change from the previous season.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, the opening sequence is what, 11 minutes almost, pretty much?
Yeah.
It's got fighting, it's got intensity.
Because I will say sometimes they do a really good job of actually having, you know, facts that they mm-hmm. are relaying to us. It's not they're just making anything up. I mean, this is actual history. And so sometimes for me, being young and too young to have actually lived through this time, I'll be sitting there and I'm like, I don't know what they're talking about. I'm so confused as to who is the NE, the SAD, the ISI. So it's nice to kind of not always have the constant banter of them talking about what is going on politically in the world at that time, but to also kind of have like the actual action. Maybe this is my brain being lazy.
Yeah, I mean, when you can tell a story visually and you don't need the dialogue to necessarily go with it, because you can see, like, as soon as in the opening sequence, she made that, remember, she walks up the stairs and she puts the little quarter in, I made a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
And then as, with Elizabeth, when she's saying, stay for, the food is actually great here. You knew something was up and she wanted to, you know, like, let's get out of here. I've won, at least at that point she did, and it just didn't turn out too well after that.
Yeah, it was a very high intense scene. I was also a little confused as to why the head of the FBI happened to be like on the streets. You wouldn't think that he would be, you know, doing the foot traffic trying to hunt down this woman. So it was surprising to see him turn around when she was actually confronted with the two FBI agents.
And to your earlier point, I mean, you know, one of the things we'll talk about the kind of movement now into Afghanistan more and things like that. And I as much as, you know, like you, I didn't necessarily live in this time period to know it, certainly. But I like that aspect of it. I like the strategy. I may not know what the full players are, but really I like seeing people's minds at work.
Yes.
And that's part of what I enjoy about the show. One of the things as part of the opening, they had comedy, right? And so Stan with over at EST.
Yes.
So let's talk about this and kind of his personal life and trying to gain back Sandra.
Well, I will say up until the opening of this season, I did not understand what they were talking about when he kept saying that Sandra had gone to Est. I was like, what is this? Like, what is this? I've never heard of this before. Because it was something in the 80s. Recently, I was introduced by a friend to the new version of Est. It's like the same company called the Landmark Forum. So when they show him at the actual Est Forum and the guy is talking to them and there's all those chalkboards, I like set up a little bit because I was like, I just went to something like this like 2 days ago. Like, what is this? What is this? But it was a nice comedic moment of seeing like I had a very similar reaction to being like, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. And seeing that kind of brought to life.
What's the appeal? I mean, other than perhaps your friend, like, what was the appeal there? You know, were people there out of curiosity or were they really there to get something out of it?
It's set up in a way where it is people bring a guest and they do it as like the last night of their program. So they have a weekend that they're there and then the last night is the night where they can bring guests. But if you're a guest, how it looks is that they're just trying to recruit you.
I mean, just even by definition of how you spoke of it, that's literally what it sounds like.
Yeah. So it's like a recruitment and they kind of speak in a form of double speak in a way. Like it's you know what you know and you don't know what you don't know. And your brain is kind of like, what? Yeah. Like, so it is kind of what Stan was referring to. And then the whole, I hear they're much more lighthearted now, but the whole idea of them, you know, calling them.
I mean, here's the thing, you know,
and all that.
I don't mean to insult this pro. You know, I'm much more of Stan's response to it, right? Mm-hmm. Where what a load of I forget his full phrasing, but to the same token, I understand that some people need that type of obviousness, you know, and they just need to be reminded of it. And so I can respect it, but it's at the same time, it's certainly not for me. And it wasn't for Stan.
Yeah, no, I'm right there. So it was great to see them kind of have that reaction. It was great to see the kind of dialogue that the Est man has with one of the audience members. And it was also great to really just see it, to have it clarified what Sandra was doing. Cause I think for a long time, for me, just not living in that generation, I didn't understand what Est was. And like, she met this man at Est, and I was like, what is Est? What is this program that they're talking about? So I guess personally, because I had already gone through it, and to see it, you know, to actually see him go to it, it was a nice wrap up to that whole.
Do you think it's do you think it was presumptuous of Stan? And he, you know, he shows up and they're kind of talking and it's almost like, hey, I did this.
Yeah.
Isn't this like, it's a gold star. And I feel like it's kind of a reoccurring thing in TV shows and perhaps in life too, where it's like you do one thing and then like you're automatically supposed to be back. Like, no, just you didn't even understand what the full program is
because
you lied to me just now.
I think it kind of is. You know, it's like if you're in a live-in relationship with someone and you guys argue all the time and one of the argument points is you don't ever do the dishes. And then one day you come home and the dishes are done. And it's like, see, I did the dishes. That was the problem, right?
Yeah, like, now do it every day.
Yeah, that's not the problem. So it was they did a really good job of kind of showing like, no, that's not going to be enough. And poor Stan, he just, I don't think he really gets, well, women.
I don't think he gets a lot of things.
He doesn't get. He's kind of not a very competent FBI agent. Well, ever really.
No, I can't say that he. And that's the problem. I mean, I think if I was to summarize Stan in any sort of way in a simplistic form, it's he's trying to write his marriage, but nothing there because he doesn't understand that, and he's trying to be, you know, he's putting a lot of hours into being an FBI agent, but he's not really good at that either.
Yeah.
And so he's splintering his time, ironically, even though he's trying to give both a lot of time and it's just not working out.
No, he should focus. I hope they'll kind of let go of the whole marriage storyline now, you know, now that she's probably gotten like the last box of everything. And I hope they focus more on the dynamic of him as an FBI agent and then kind of touching on Oleg, looks like Oleg's stalking Stan.
Yeah.
So I think focusing more so on him as an FBI agent is a stronger choice than him as a married man. He's just not, going to work.
And that's why it was funny when he says, like, they walk back and he says, oh, I can take a hint. Don't worry, that wasn't a hint.
Yeah, it was pretty clear. You pretty much said, I would like you to leave now, you know. Oh, Stan.
But it's funny because he's so giddy because he thinks their relationship is so perfect. And so it's like, you know what? I messed up my thing. You guys do. But I'll still take this beer.
Yeah. He did take the beer.
Miller High Life.
I know.
Hilarious.
All hasn't changed in 40 years.
All right. Let's, why don't we talk about, Yousef and Annalise, even that's kind of the last thing that we're really left with. And that's going to be certainly in the next coming episodes, the through line.
Yeah.
I love her for saying, you know, he deserved better. You deserve better.
Yeah. Well, so does her husband because Annalise is married to a diplomat. So it's all kind of like, it's all very tangled and. I remember she was introduced so briefly last season for all of one episode, and I remember thinking, oh, she's so naive, and oh, she's just going to get used. So I was surprised, but not surprised, by how things happened between her and Yousef. And, I mean, obviously, they shouldn't have used her. She's not confident enough to realize that admitting to a man who is a political...
Yeah, he's got an agenda.
He's got an agenda. He's not doing good things. Admitting to him that, you know, I'm secretly in a covert mission, but it's all for you. I mean, it's not going to end well.
Yeah, and especially, like, and, you know, it's one of those ironic things. She was definitely overhead. And despite him saying, like, hey, we'll get a place in Zurich and things like that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, especially the type of man that he is. He'll say what he needs to say in the moment.
Yeah.
But when push comes to shove and he needs to protect himself in a survival sense, you're going to get choked.
He didn't say,
unfortunately,
I want to get married and have children with you and leave this life behind. He said, I will buy you an apartment in Zurich when you leave your husband and I can come visit you every 2 weeks or so. That's not a man that you confess that you've been spying on. You know?
That's an escape for him.
Yeah, that's like, okay, I can get my little piece of pie on the side when I want it and in a controlled area and I don't have to share her with her husband.
Yeah.
So.
And obviously, kind of, there's lots to talk about there. But, you know, one of the interesting points that they're hinting towards, certainly in the teaser, is, you know, you spoke about her kind of being over her head.
Yeah.
And, you know, as tying it back to Philip and Elizabeth, you know, here we have Paige, who's 14, and Gabriel's like, okay, we got to, it's time to start grooming her. And, you know, I mean, that's, you're basically grooming her to just be a pawn and just to listen.
Yeah.
And, you know, and one of the unfortunate side effects, if you don't really train her in the, you know, in the proper ways, again, if you're just using these people as pawns, then yes, they will make dumb mistakes like this.
Yeah. I think there, I think at one point, everyone on the show has been in over their head. I think the fact that Elizabeth has almost been caught twice means that even she, who has had years of training, who's been a spy for years, who's been undercover for years, is in over her head, you know? And so the whole recruitment process of Paige, it just seems, I guess, having, living now in the present, knowing what's going to eventually happen to the Soviet Union and to Russia and to Afghanistan and everything, you just kind of go, everyone's so naive. Like, why do you think, how do you think, but why do you think that would work? And I guess in my mind, I just look, sometimes I look at the episode, at the show with the characters, and I think, if you were able to step outside of the situation and really see it, would you make the same choices? Would you really think that recruiting children at 14 to handle these type of situations and put them into the CIA is a good idea?
Well, you know,
that's war.
It's you look at it in the sense of think about if you're training someone for sports, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to be much better as an adult if they train earlier.
Yeah.
And so, you know, or, they're going to have more tools in their tool belt, so to speak. And yes, I mean, is the why and the how, you know, in this case, sports and obviously, mm-hmm. you know, espionage, two completely different mm-hmm. things, I understand, but that's the ideology.
I can see that, but then there's also the, well, you're going to train them, but there's the risk that they might blow a kneecap before they even get to that point. So I kind of feel, you know, with Paige, I guess I said more with Philip, it's not really worth the end game. Like, they are the end game. They've already lived it. They're living it in the present. And to have her, you know, recruited into that life, there doesn't seem to be much benefit.
And that's the, you know, that's part of why I love the show. I mean, you know, even when, you know, how's his hockey going, right? Henry's yeah. hockey. And he's actually playing baseball.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously two very, you know, tying it back to sports, two very symbolic sports. Mm-hmm. You got Russia with hockey and you got, you know, America's favorite pastime.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always like those little quips in there.
Yeah, it's a very smart show. You know, they do their research across the board.
They do, and you know, but at the same time, even though it's following history, I'm always curious, like, ultimately, because, you know, for better or worse, we're following the Russian side of this.
Yeah.
To a degree, to mm-hmm. a degree. I would say, like, I don't know. Maybe you guys at home have a differing opinion, but I would say the protagonists in this is, you know, Elizabeth and Philip. Mm-hmm. And obviously Elizabeth more so than Philip, but...
No, yeah. bless you.
Thank you.
I love that... The reason that I was attracted to the show from to begin with was the fact that they were showing what we consider to be the villain's story. You know, when people talk about that whole time, it's always from the American side and how we felt about it and what we were doing about it. And even with this episode, when Oleg and the Russian director are watching the video that they've gotten from Afghanistan, I was like, wow, that's just such a crazy mirroring of, you know, what we are dealing with in the present of receiving videos of assassinations and even the ISI and ISIS. And so you see, like, even though we consider them to be the villains of the story, and that's what we're following, it's just basically another country kind of going through things that we are going through now or we have gone through in the past and how we should be able to relate.
And you know,
kind of liberal.
I like, they brought up the notion Russia did, you know, when they were kind of, you know, if this continues, it was actually Gabriel, I think it was. If this continues, we're, you know, Afghanistan is, it's going to turn into our Vietnam.
Yeah.
And so I like that idea of it, because here you have something that was just so horrific mm-hmm. for, you know, the Americans, and now they're reverse engineering. Okay, let's, you know, you go through that experience.
Yeah.
And that's how we'll get you.
And then in turn, we go through the experience. So yeah. It's just cyclical. It's just horribly cyclical.
Yeah.
Like, I did the one part that I kind of went, oh, when Oleg was, after they just watched the video. And they were trying to decide, like, what to do to keep getting videos from, you know, like this being sent to them continually. And his response was, get out of Afghanistan. And I was like, yeah, that's so just, like, plainly logical. But nobody's going to listen to him. I don't know. I'm very liberal.
Well, what did you think, what'd you think about the threat? You know, hey, you can't say these things openly. And he says, you know, hey, like, if I'm to do my job, I have to be open.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, you know, be careful. So what are your thoughts on her, and also kind of, you know, the position of like, hey, keep your mouth shut.
I think it's a very realistic conversation. You know, I think, yeah, he had every right to say it. But with that said, when you do say, I mean, we're going through that on a daily basis right now. When you do say things that people consider to be not in line with the public thought or the political thought, then yeah, that you are a threat and you will be treated as such.
And especially, you know, I really like the notion of, you know, hey, I need to be open to do my job. It's one of those things that, especially now more and more, it's really frustrating. You know, again, I'd rather, even for myself, I'd rather focus on doing a job and being more open about things. You know, I mean, how many cyber hacks and things like that happen? But, you know, it's just one of those frustrating things. Like, by being secure, it infringes on your job.
Yeah.
But especially, like, I mean, especially when you're dealing with espionage, you have double, triple, quadruple agents, and you mm-hmm. never know. You just never know.
As my mother would say, you have to be careful what you share.
That's it.
I'm like, okay.
And that personally frustrates me.
Yes. It really is frustrating. You should be able to say what you want, but free speech is only so free.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. One of the things we didn't quite talk about, but the death of the Russian president. You know, and they tied it in so... You know, you have to really pay attention because it's on the news mm-hmm. and Paige is watching it. So you're getting that information, but at the same time, she clicks the channel to, I forget what the program
was.
Jefferson's. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show symbolically that, you know what, she might not care about Russia.
Yeah. I remember when I was in high school and there was... the war in Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever, it changed from one to the other, from what I can remember. And being kind of like adamant and passionate about that. And then after a while, just kind of getting tired of it and watching Disney movies. And so I kind of feel like at 14, that's where you're at. It's kind of like, you want to be passionate. You want to fight for something. But sometimes you're like, I just want to watch Jefferson's. But I did, coming from just like the writers, that was a very good, you know, kind of plot point to hit very briefly to kind of say this is coming, and they've done a really good job of kind of setting everything up. So what does it mean now that the Soviet president is dead? What does that mean for Elizabeth and Philip? Are they working for nothing? And so it's a nice little setup, and for her to kind of be like indifferent to it, it's nice as well because she's a kid. You know, why would she care about that?
And speaking of setups, in terms of I forget her name, but she's coming. You know, she's on the U.S./Canada Institute.
Yeah,
you know, and now
the U.S. Canada Institute.
And now she's kind of going in, and we're plotting. And I love the joke of what's the U.S. Canada Institute? I'll tell you later.
Yeah, I'm like, I was like, what? What is this? This is all news to me, but it's good setup.
It is, and I was hoping. Obviously, this was kind of a bigger through line, but I was hoping we would get more information than we did in tonight's episode, because I mean, in terms of I don't know. For me, that was a big thing that I would, you know, I'm curious the most about.
Mm.
But I feel like we got sort of the least amount of information on.
I feel like there was a lot of setups. If, you know, there was kind of that plant of Martha and the gun and her learning how to use the gun and what that's going to eventually mean for Philip and the fact that Yusuf killed Annalise and the fact that they did acknowledge that they might go ahead and recruit Paige. So this, for me, the U.S.-Canada Institute lady was just like, we'll just touch briefly on that, just kind of like how they touched briefly on the Soviet president dying. Because my brain was already kind of like, this is a lot. I'm taking in a lot of information right now. So they did a good job of focusing on the things that they kind of needed to wrap up from previous season and how those things affect the current season.
Yeah. Anything else about this episode? I know, like as you mentioned, there's a lot of setup, so it's kind of tough to talk about because it's all just speculation, which of course we'll go into more predictions, but
yeah.
But in terms of the actual episode, anything else that we need to touch on that we haven't yet?
Not from what I can think of. Overall, it was a great episode. I hope Elizabeth stops getting almost caught.
Oh, let's you know, speaking of almost caught, let's talk about you know, she gets the as a gift from Gabriel, she gets she gets the tape of her mother, and you know, finally you know, I obviously her and Philip have a job to do, but they also have their nice moments every now and then. Obviously he wants the little piece of brownie and she saves him a little piece no matter what. And then, you know, she confides in him like, hey, you know, I got a tape from my mother and she's dying.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a scene, you know, for as much dialogue as there was throughout the whole show, this was such few dialogue, but it said everything.
Yeah.
And they really acted that scene well.
Yeah, no, it's come a long way, you know, from the first season where she was so adamant about, you know, this is a job, our marriage is a fraud, and this is just what I need to do because this is my job, to her being able to say, my mother is dying, and leaving him a piece of brownie. And that's, I think, where the show excels, is at showing that, you know, these people have developed a really touching relationship, and how everything else is just kind of, everything else is really just politics. You know, it's really a story about a husband and wife trying to keep their marriage and their family together, and they happen to be Russian spies living in America.
And that, you know, going back to S, I think that's the irony, right? So the whole thing was real experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is real? How can we have real experiences? And that, I would say, argue, was a real experience for once.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They may not love each other, but hey, at the very least...
You don't think they love each other?
I think ultimately they do.
Yeah.
I think ultimately they do.
By now. I think finally now they love each other. No masks.
It's one of those things that, you know what, in order, it's almost like, in order to be better at your job in this, if you just fully embrace all of it, then you become better at it.
Yeah.
Ironically.
The nice thing is that they finally realize that the only people they can really be themselves with is each other. You know, they can't share their lives with anyone else. And so they just have to stick together and...
Yeah.
That's marriage.
That's marriage, folks.
Yeah.
All right. I figured one of the things I wanted to, at least while I'm on the panel, do is kind of tell you about whether a TV show or movie that might be of interest if you love the Americans. And I wanted to bring up, for a variety of reasons, A Most Wanted Man.
Hmm.
It came out sometime in the fall. Right. It's a Philip Seymour Hoffman movie, you know, which is after his death. And so it's one of those things as you're watching, it's he plays, you know, it's a game of espionage and things like that. And it's tough because he's so dedicated to his job and he's always drinking coffee and trying to, you know, he's up for a lot of times. And it shows the gritty side of espionage in the sense that he's always just watching things, and you know, it's not like it's not a James Bond thing, right? They purposely made it so it's not, you know, action. It was like very much like sit, watch, stare, get a clue, try to go somewhere with it, but it wasn't like, oh my god, we got a clue, let's go.
Yeah.
And his face, and it's one of the tougher things to watch because his face is so deteriorating throughout the movie. And it's, I won't give away the ending, but I thought the ending of it was brilliant. And so I think it's worth checking out on a number of levels if you, I mean, I imagine that you love The Americans and there's an appeal to it for the espionage part of it, the human side of it, the strategy side of it. And Most Wanted Man has kind of all of that. And I think very underrated movie, in my opinion. And so I recommend it to you fans.
Cool.
Predictions?
Predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
And this could be for next episode, or obviously we got a teaser for the rest
whole
of the season.
Yeah, I think just for the next episode, the main thing is going to be dealing with Annalisa's death. I also think, I think they're going to turn the FBI is going to turn their focus back to hunting down Elizabeth yet again. Because that seems to always be like what they do. They go, oh, okay, we kind of got someone. Let's focus on that and try and find her. So that'll be more of a tango. And then also with Paige, I think it's just going to be more of a back and forth of if they're going to tell her or not tell her. So, I mean, it's kind of general, but hopefully they'll put that storyline a little bit on the back burner to focus more on the fact that Philip kind of made a mistake by using a rookie and how that worked against him and how that works for him, because now they have Yousef in their pocket.
Yeah, no, all very interesting points. And if you guys at home definitely notice your thoughts and opinions, whether you're commenting in the section on iTunes, SoundCloud, or of course on YouTube. We do try to read as many as we can. Sometimes it's overwhelming.
I read all of them,
but it's a lot of fun. You know, you guys have great theories, and that's after all. I like to look at it. We get the conversation going, but you guys help continue it, and it becomes a discourse. It's not just us talking to you. You guys have a participation element of it. And of course, you can use the hashtag ABTVAmericans to Instagram, tweet with us, whatever the case may be. My thoughts, I think, what was nice is I think they front loaded that teaser, meaning, the stuff that we saw, yes, it'll kind of be spread out over the course of a couple episodes, but I think they're the immediate, like, next three episodes for the most part that we'll see. Mm-hmm. But then there's stuff like, again, you pointed to, Martha with her gun, right? And so, she doesn't need glasses, and it's almost one of those symbolic. She can see clear now, right? And we see her using it, or about to at least. And so that's going to be interesting. They showed those. They had the little action montage, so I'm always excited about that stuff.
Yeah, it's an action heavy season. Last season was all talking in low hushed voices, and this season is like, geez Louise, like. Everyone is shooting somebody. So
that'll be interesting. Yeah. That'll be interesting. All right, guys. Thank you guys for joining us. As always, we appreciate it. And as mentioned, please feel free to be part of the conversation. That's what we're here all about. Where can the people interact with you on Twitter?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Adrian Snow, MSADRIANSNOW.
And of course, right here at AfterBuzz TV, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. And as mentioned, if you haven't already done so, subscribe on iTunes, subscribe over on SoundCloud or on YouTube, whatever's your fancy, whatever's easiest for you. We try to make it as available as we can, so that way you have the best option for you to watch and or listen. We'll see you guys next week. We will be adding some people to the panel in the coming week. So hope you guys kind of enjoy it. And again, I know we're not the four that you've come to love and expect and whatever else, but hopefully don't be harsh with your comments.
Yeah. Be harsh. It's okay. I can take it.
Well, you know what? Be constructive, though. If there's something you guys didn't like, let us know. Again, let us know what you specifically loved about them, and we'll try to replicate it as much as possible and whatever else. And I know it's tough because, A, they were four, there was only two of us, and they have an amazing energy, and they have great insight, we will try our damnedest. We are here for you.
Yes, indeed.
Until next week.
from executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.